All right, well, we now come to that point in the service where we take time to consider God's Word. There's a lot of voices we hear throughout the week. Certainly, not always helpful. To hear from the Word of God, though, is life. And so it's appropriate as we begin, of course, to hear the Word of God, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So I want to invite one of my team members from Cherokee to come up. His name is Cheese, a.k.a. Alexander DeBella. And he's not only going to read it for you, but he is going to recite it for you, because these were the verses that we memorized during our mission trip. So, Alexander, could I invite you up here to read for, to recite for us Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3?
Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, so that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen. Thanks, Alexander. Maybe there's a future in him standing behind this pulpit. I don't know. And obviously, we're going to be looking at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. But first, I want to look at Genesis chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, please bring them when you come, either on your phone or in paper form. Let's look at Genesis chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Because whenever we read the Bible, context is king, right? We want to know what the context is. And this narrative, it's important to know in the story, what came first? When we're interpreting the Bible accurately, if we're actually understanding what the Bible is trying to give to us, then we have to do good interpretation, which even includes taking account of the genre. This is a narrative. It's a story. So what came before Genesis 12, 1 through 3? Well, let's look. Genesis chapter 11. Let's start at verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now, I just want to note that these people are the same people who've been infected by the heart disease of Adam and Eve. That is a heart disease that is very, very willing to trust the voice of the serpent and not to trust the voice of Yahweh or the Lord. Okay? So these people have forgotten the mission of God and are now seeking to do something else. So let's continue to read. Verse 3, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So, briefly, what's going on here? We've already mentioned that these people have a heart disease. They're not listening to their Creator about what their purpose and function is in life. And so, like a toaster that's, say, made to toast bread, they're trying to, say, mow the lawn with a toaster. It just doesn't make any sense. They're going against their whole purpose and function for which they were made. And not only so, they're using the lawnmower to completely destroy the earth. It's this lawnmower that has these huge, huge cutters, and it's just ripping the earth apart as they're going against their purpose and function in life. We have to keep that context in mind as well, as God sees them seeking to make a name for themselves. We also see here that this heart disease is infatuated with self. It's infatuated with self-love. Satan has convinced these people to become infatuated with themselves rather than looking out, as we were given eyes to look out and see the face of God and to see the face of the other. It's like we've just gotten this big mirror so that we can all just look at ourselves. And this is a destructive sort of heart disease. And the Lord is not going to allow them to make a name for themselves with this kind of purpose, this wrong purpose. What they're actually doing is, although they may not think it, they've deluded themselves, convinced they're doing otherwise, is they're spreading the curse. Two very important words in the book of Genesis are blessing and cursing. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the creation is infused with this word blessing. The people were blessed so that they might be fruitful and multiply and benevolently care for creation like God. The seventh day is blessed and called holy. Creation is something that is to be thought of as blessed, and there's to be harmony and shalom in it. But in Genesis 3 enters in the curse, because the people listen to the voice of the evil one. And curse enters in. Things go awry. And so these people are actually spreading the curse. When I came back from Cherokee on our short-term mission trip, I had gotten a rash basically on my arms at first, for some reason. Then, as the week proceeded, it started to spread up my arms. And then it got on my legs, and I was like, well, I guess that's just because it's exposed to the sun. That's as bad as it's going to get. Well, by Friday, it was on my sides. I mean, it was practically on my whole body. And it reminded me, as I was thinking about this last night, this is like what the people are doing here in chapter 11. They're spreading this curse throughout the earth. They're going against God's mission that was meant to have them spread throughout the earth, fill the earth with his image of benevolent care, and do it for his name's sake, for his glory, looking outward. Everything is going wrong here in the Tower of Babel, and God puts an end to it, because he is not going to let his creation be constituted by curse. He wants something better for his creation. And so we come to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. We've got this man, Abram, an old fella, can't have children, and he's sort of wandering on his way to go worship some moon gods. He's caught up in this whole idol factory production process of the Tower of Babel. But God enters in. This is grace. God initiates. God moves in first, because he wants this world to be constituted by blessing yet again. So now the Lord said to Abram, you can imagine him almost being like Paul on the horse on the way to Damascus. Whoa! The Lord speaks to this moon worshiper. A moon can't do anything for you. Why would you worship the moon? It's just a rock. The Lord, the living God, speaks to Abram. And he tells him to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God is starting a new thing with Abram. And he makes seven promises to him. He says, I will make of you a great nation, one. I will bless you, two. I will make your name great, three. Notice that God is going to be the one who makes his name great, not Abram. So that you will be a blessing, a renewed purpose. You're not going to spread the curse. You are going to be a means to spreading blessing throughout creation again. I will bless those who bless you. So God is going to be with him, protecting him, guiding him in his mission. And him who dishonors you, him who dishonors you, not they who dishonor you, him who dishonors you, I will curse. God is being very positive. Those who bless you, the many who will bless you, I will bless them too. The one who might curse you, don't worry about it. I've got your back. And finally, the seventh promise, the one that's in the most prominent position, the number seven being a significant number in Genesis, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, how is that going to happen through a man who can't even have a child? How is that going to happen to a people who are enslaved to sin, who can't seem to break the habit of disliking God's authority and not loving their neighbor? Well, the mystery was solved. After a long period of waiting, the Lord Jesus Christ, the offspring of Abraham, was born. We could look back at Matthew's genealogy and see that that was what it was all about. The way that blessing would ultimately come would come through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who Abram unknowingly had put his faith in, the one whom Israel and all the sacrifices and the law had put their faith in unknowingly, but whose faith was in Jesus Christ nevertheless. And after that long period of waiting, finally, the one who could break the seals, the one who could actually bring blessing to the nations, came, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and renewed, reconciled to God. And he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can be true agents of reconciliation and blessing, so that our work can be done to the glory of God, and that his name might be made great. And so that's what we were about, in a very small way, contributing to that greater story as his church, as his local church here, Crossroads, as we went to Cherokee last week.